on the Colorado State Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the Colorado State Insider with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
All right, here we go. We're back at it right here on the Colorado State Insider Podcast. Welcome, everybody. Brian Roth, your host. Thank you for tuning in. And, boy, a fun show ahead of us as we talk about yet another Colorado State football win. They open up conference play with a resounding 32-14 win over the defending Mountain West Conference champion Spartans of San Jose State. Rams were actually favored going in the game last week, but you know, you still looked at that as a coin flip game and looked at it as a very important game. Can you get off on the right foot in Mountain West Conference play? And really the question was, can you continue your upward trend? And we've seen the Rams play better throughout the course of the month of September. And again, that question was answered on Saturday. Yes, the Rams continued to play better and really dominated San Jose State. All right, here's what we have coming up on the show. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that victory, and then we'll also hear comments from head coach Steve Addazio. Of course, we talked to Steve Monday night in the Coors Light Steve Addazio Coaches Show out at CBM Potts Restaurant and Tap Room, Collindale and Fort Collins. And I thought Steve had a great quote when talking about Ty McCullough, the wide receiver for CSU, had the big 60-yard pass play. And I want to play his quote. It's about a three-minute quote. He talks a little bit about Nick Saban in it as well. But I thought it was an interesting quote and good enough to pull from the show and to play it here on the podcast. We also had running back Ajon Vivens on the podcast as well. And Ajon, I had not had a real chance to speak with Ajon until Monday night. So I didn't really understand what type of interview he would be and certainly what type of a young man that he would be. And I was blown away. I mean, Ajon Vivens is everything you want your student athlete to be. And so we'll play you that interview of Ajon coming up later on in the podcast as well. And then we're going to start looking forward a little bit and start talking about the contest coming up Saturday night against New Mexico. Rams are heading down to the ABQ. CSU has beaten the Lobos 10 straight times. We'll try to make it 11 straight. Rams are the prohibitive favorite in this one as New Mexico has lost 4 straight. They're 2-4 in the season and they're 0-2 in Mountain West Conference play. Rams, last time I checked, were 10.5-point favorites. That might have changed since then, but this should be a game that Colorado State, if you go down, you play well, you take care of the football, that you should come away with the win. And then finally on the program here today, we'll check in with Chris Woodard, 10th year head coach, Colorado State swimming and diving. Rams have opened up with 7 straight dual wins. They did it all last week in Grand Junction at the Intermountain Shootout, and we'll talk to Chris about this year's team, and it should be a pretty successful season for Colorado State swimming and diving. All right, well, let's start with the homecoming win against San Jose State on Saturday, and first, the crowd. I mean, it was an unbelievable crowd, and we knew there would probably be a big crowd because it was homecoming, and obviously, we've seen the student section really show out so far here this season, this being the third home football game at Canvas Stadium of the year. But the crowd was beyond description. I mean, it was as good of a crowd as we've seen in at least 2-3 years, and ended up being the fourth largest crowd ever at Canvas Stadium, 34,780. And I mentioned this on the broadcast, but I was at the bonfire and the fireworks and the pep rally on Friday night over on campus. I took my family there, and first off, there was a ton of Ram fans and a ton of students that were there as well, but you could just kind of sense this buzz among around campus, and it carried over into Saturday. And I was over at the basketball scrimmage on Saturday morning, and then walked across campus over to the football stadium to broadcast the football game. And I have not seen campus that alive in a long, long time. And obviously the weather was good. It was warm. The sun was out. Obviously a little windy. We could have done without the wind. But it just had a different feel to it. And driving to the stadium, the driving around campus on Saturday morning, I mean, the traffic was not good. But that's actually not a bad thing, because it means that people are out about. They're getting fired up for a college football game. And it was just fun to feel and fun to see. And then you see everybody come into the stadium, and you're looking from our press box, our view of the radio booth out to the east, just that east side almost completely full. And it looked like a great college football atmosphere. It was a great college football atmosphere. And then, of course, we started asking ourselves, okay, can the football team reward these fans for coming out and watching this football team? Do you reward them by playing well, and do you give them a reason to come back? And that answer at the end of the day was absolutely. Everyone I talked to that was at the game as a fan thought it was a terrific atmosphere and they had a blast. Now, I understand there were some issues with the concessions. There's a worker shortage everywhere, but certainly in the service industry. I mean, you talk to folks that own restaurants, they're having trouble finding service help. That hurt with the concessions. In fact, there was 4 concession stands that were closed because they couldn't find enough workers. I know there was delays in getting in, and that was unfortunate. I know some of the sun glare with the digital tickets played into that and had an effect on some of those long lines. And again, you're talking about short-staffed. The security that Colorado State hires just can't find the workers. So they have to somehow, some way, find a way to get that fixed. And Joe Parker and his crew are definitely working on that. But overall, everybody that I talked to that was at the game on Saturday had an absolute blast. And that's what it's supposed to be about. I mean, that's what moving this stadium, building this stadium on campus was all about, to get people back on campus and to have a game day atmosphere like we had on Saturday. And so it was a blast. Tip of the cap to all those Colorado State fans that came on out Saturday afternoon, and glad you enjoyed yourself. But there was a palpable buzz around campus on Saturday, and it was so much fun to be a part of. And then, yes, Colorado State came out and they did their part. The football team, 32-14 over San Jose State. Now, remember, you listened to the podcast last week, you follow the conference, you know that San Jose State, the defending Mountain West Conference champions, they brought back everybody from that team outside of their top 2 wide receivers. And yes, they were missing their starting quarterback in the game as well. So San Jose State did have some things working against them on Saturday, but at the end of the day, that was a dominating performance by the Colorado State Rams. CSU goes right down the field, opening drive, 8 plays, 75 yards, kind of set the tone offensively. Then the Rams get a defensive turnover on the first San Jose State offense possession. Jack Howell, the freshman, continues to be phenomenal for CSU. That set the tone for the defense, and then CSU just played great football from there on out. And it was fun to see this football team continue on the path that I think we all saw them going on. I mean, they're trending upwards. We saw it against Toledo. Obviously, the loss at Iowa, CSU wasn't able to get the upset win, but they still played very good football and a respectable showing, really, midway through the third quarter. We talked about it. I mean, that was almost a coin flip football game. And Iowa, of course, knocked out Penn State last weekend behind their terrific defense. But we saw this Ram football team trending upwards, and we were wondering, would the bye week hamper that? And the answer was no, it did not. And to watch Todd Senteo bounce back and have the type of game that he had, to watch Ajon Vivens run the way that he ran, he had 30 carries for 114 yards in the contest, and to watch the Colorado State defense really shut down San Jose State. They forced 2 turnovers defensively. Of course, there was a 3rd turnover on special teams by San Jose State, but you looked at the way that CSU really shut down the running attack. And in fact, again, that was a 32-7 game with 2 minutes to go in the contest, and San Jose State had less than 200 yards of offense. Now, I know San Jose State went on a 68-yard drive to close out the game, and yes, they scored against some of the 2s and 3s for Colorado State, but this defense continues to play really well. We know the front 7 is dominant, and you're starting to see this fine play on the back end in the secondary as well. And that, how about Caden Camper, kicker for Colorado State? He opened up the season 1 of 4, had 2 big misses against Vanderbilt. All he's done since then is hit 11 straight field goals. He went 6 of 6 on Saturday, and while some of them were chip shots, let's remember he had a 53-yard field goal in that game on Saturday, and he was the Mountain West Conference Special Teams Player of the Week for the 2nd time here this season. So really it all came together for Colorado State, and for them to go out and do that against San Jose State. And yeah, I get it. San Jose State probably caught lightning in the bottle last year, and they had a lot of stuff go for them in a COVID year. But the fact of the matter is that is still the reigning Mountain West Conference champion, and to do them like the Rams did them on Saturday was fun to watch. One more note from that contest, we also saw a splash play, an explosive play for Colorado State. And it's something that's been lacking in this offense all season long. Going into the game on Saturday against San Jose State, the longest play all season for the Colorado State Ram offense was 36 yards. They had a 36-yard pass play this season. They had a 36-yard run play this season. And so it was an offense that we knew just had to get more explosive. And we finally saw that on Saturday, and it came at a huge time. In the third quarter, the Rams were up 16-7. This is still a game that's very much in the air. And on the Rams' opening offensive possession of the third quarter, and we've talked about the woes in the third quarter this year for Colorado State, and for CSU to pick that time to have their big splash play, the 60-yard bomb from Todd Senteo to Ty McCullough, was a lot of fun to watch. The stadium just went berserk, but that was the big play, because all of a sudden it's 23-7, and you just got the sense that San Jose State was not going to come back from a 23-7 deficit, and of course they were not able to do it. I asked Steve Adazio about that explosive play in the third quarter on Monday night in the Coors Light Steve Adazio Coach Show, and I really enjoyed the answer that he gave, because you know Ty McCullough is a kid who has some real speed on the outside and is as talented probably as any wide receiver on the roster. Of course, any wide receiver not named Dante Wright, but he's a talented, talented young man. He's a junior, 6'1", 180, and for him to go out there and make that play was huge. But I asked Steve Adazio about that big play and about Ty McCullough on the Coach's Show Monday night, and here's the answer he gave. I thought it was a terrific answer. Go ahead and take a listen.
That's not an accident that that happened. That's reflective of the last couple weeks that he's been getting better and better. And I look at Ajon. I use him as an example. I mean, I've been saying for weeks now, I'd say, you know, I'd comment to the team after practice about the way he practiced. He practiced at a different speed than everybody else. Okay, so not shocking that all of a sudden now you see his play in the field is becoming that way. It's the same with Ty McCullough. So, like, it's a great learning lesson. It's a great opportunity for young players to say, listen, how you practice matters, the intensity of what you practice with. We call game reps. You have to have game reps in practice. You don't have game reps going three-quarter tempo or without maximal intensity. And we're starting to get more and more players are figuring that out. And the more players we have those kind of high-level game reps, that's when they start to emerge, you know, in the game.
Right.
So it's not like by happen chance, you know. So sometimes when I don't see that at practice, I get nervous, you know, because I've been in this long enough to know that. And, I, you know, it's funny. You know, we look to Nick Saban as one of the, you know, which he is, I mean, one of the all-time greatest coaches in the history of the game. And if you listen to his press conference last week, it was an interesting press conference. He just kind of went on and talked about, you know, the game, it's not on the game. It starts on Tuesday or whatever your first day of the week is, and it's a slow build, and it's what happens on that practice field. And they've got to do a better job on that practice field because there were things that didn't happen during the week that all of a sudden, it's not shocking what happened on Saturday. It was interesting to listen to him talk about his team. And that's the key. How do you maximize every day during the week? How do you get the players to understand that they have to maximize every practice and every play during the week? When you have a really good football team, that's your team culture. You know, we talk about leadership as setting a standard. Hold everybody to that standard, whether it's your position group, whether, you know, I do that for the coaches. Leadership is set a standard, hold everybody to the standard. And when your team holds each other to a standard and that standard's really high, you got a chance to have a good football team. And that's what we're trying to strive to get to. We're not a finished product yet by any means, but we're trying to get there. More and more guys pick that habit up. Before you know it, that's contagious. That's when really good – I would suspect that's what happened here when Sonny had that – Coach Lubick had that great run here. I would suspect that there was a combination of smart recruiting, great development, and a team culture that set a standard and held everybody to that standard.
Right.
That's what
yeah.
happened.
Yeah. And that stuff stacks on itself, right? I mean, you look at Ty McCullough. You said he's had a great 2 weeks, and okay, so – how do you perform in the game? Next thing you know, he makes a couple of big plays. He had another catch back, I think, in the opening drive of the contest. But all of a sudden, that's a kid that wakes up on Sunday morning and says, hey, I'm going to go out this week and practice the exact same way I have the last 2 weeks, because clearly it makes a difference.
That's the hope. And he's certainly a really super talented guy. So, you know, I mean, and then that standard infiltrates that room. And then all of a sudden, another guy in that room wants to do the same thing. And guys are competitive. And so they see guys, you know, getting you know, bearing fruit. They want to bear fruit.
Yep.
It's just the way this thing has to roll. Now, hey, there's going to be gains and comebacks and gains, but you got to keep the trend going forward and upward, you know, and that's the key.
All right, so there's head coach Steve Addazio talking about Ty McCullough and the fact that he was a kid who really had started practicing well, and kind of the light bulb went off. And you're kind of seeing that with this football team as they grow throughout the course of this 2021 season from September. Now we're into mid-October. All right, also on Monday night, we had a chance to sit down with Ajon Vivens, the running back out of Denver, of course, prepped at Mullen High School, and started the first game of his career on Saturday against San Jose State. And all he did, run for a career-high 114 yards on a career-high 30 carries. Again, he joined us on Monday night, and well, here's our conversation with the junior running back, Ajon Vivens. Help me welcome to the program junior running back, Ajon Vivens.
How's it going?
Hey, John, they love you here. They love you.
Great to be here.
Yeah, hey, why not? Thanks for popping by tonight. And, well, let's just first start with Saturday. I mean, how good did that feel to come out in front of nearly 35,000 fans, a homecoming Saturday? You get the leaves falling. I mean, it's just – it's what football is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It was great coming out and seeing the fan support we had. And, you know, we really wanted to come out and get that win. We worked hard for it, so – it was just a great Saturday overall.
Talk a little bit about the trajectory of this team because, you know, you seem to be playing better and better each and every week collectively as a team. And, look, I know you thought you probably could have won at Iowa a couple of weeks ago, weren't able to get it done. But then to come back against the defending Mountain West Conference champions on Saturday and to do what you did to them, I thought was impressive. But talk to us a little bit about the progression of this football team.
Well, you know, it was hard for us to, you know, come out the season the way we did, but you kind of have to look internally and, you know, figure out, okay, well, we have things that we need to get better at, so we decided that we're going to take that practice by practice, you know, no matter which day it was, continue to try to get as good as we can, get better every day, because, you know, as coach likes to tell us, you either get better or you get worse, so how do you find, you know, ways to get better and better every day?
Yeah, there's no staying the same, is there?
Definitely
you're either
not.
Getting better or you're getting worse. There's no staying static. Well, you've been getting better and better as the year has gone on, too. 31 carries for Ajon on Saturday for 114 yards. 31 carries. All right, so we had David Bailey on the show a couple of weeks ago after the Toledo game. He carried it 30 times that game. So I asked him, I was like, man, how do you feel after a game like that? Yeah. So, hey, we're going to ask you, how do you feel the day after a game you carry it 31 times?
You know, your body's a little beat up, but you feel great after a win, I'll tell you that.
That's right. Makes it better, doesn't it?
Yes.
Winning solves everything,
no
question. But, you know, David has 240 pounds he has to absorb those hits. You're out there at about 200 pounds, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. During the course of a game, do you think to yourself, I've carried the football a lot here today, or is it just all just kind of one play after another and you don't really think about that stuff throughout the course of the game?
Yeah, you're not really, you know, sure. You know, there was a point in the game where I was like, you know, I'm kind of getting my opportunities here. So, you know, it's always great to see. But, you know, I really just say, you know, focus on each play, taking it one at a time, trying to get the best out of it.
Ajon Vivens, running back for Colorado State, joining us here on the program. Again, at 30 carries. 111 yards, 31 carries, 111 yards, both for career highs. Last year, you were in spring camp right before COVID as a wide receiver. All of a sudden, you know, a little bit of a numbers game. They needed an extra running back. You moved to running back, and you have not left that position room. Yeah. Talk about that transition going from wide receiver to running back. And it wasn't completely foreign to you because you had played some running back as a senior at Mullen, right?
Yeah, I had played 1 year of running back, you know, in high school. And, you know, when I transitioned from receiver to running back, you know, with the staff, it was definitely a lot different from, you know, just playing in high school where, you know, you just get told to go a certain way and you just get the ball, you know. So I really had to sit down. I had to learn, and I wanted to, you know, be the best that I could at it. So I really just had to buy into, you know, what they were telling me, and, you know, I just fully believed in them. So I just wanted to do what was best for the team.
I imagine coming into this fall, you had to feel so much more comfortable than last fall. Because at least last year, and I know you guys only played four games, but you were the leading rusher for CSU last year. How big of a difference did that make going from one year to the next, and now you come into fall camp knowing and understanding what your role is as a running back?
You know, it feels great, you know, really having that year under your belt, you know, being able to learn. And I get to sit down with, you know, Coach White on a daily, and he has so much knowledge to give me about the position. And, you know, it just keeps me wanting to get better because I want to be great and I want to be as best as I can. And so being able to play running back now is – for a whole year now has been great for me.
Yeah. I know it's been a tumultuous year for you as well. You lost your mom to cancer about a little bit over a year ago. You and your mom were really, really close. Talk about that relationship and just how you've been able to kind of pick up those pieces and move on.
Well, you know, as far as my mom, you know, our family is, you know, a really strong unit. So I feel like, you know, once she had passed and, you know, she wouldn't want me to do anything else but, you know, continue to live my life, you know, the way that I love to, and, you know, be able to go and play the game that I love. And I know she enjoyed, you know, seeing me play. And I really, you know, of course I miss her and things are, you know, were really difficult, but just continue to move forward and be the best person that I can.
Yeah, I know she certainly is proud of you right now looking
Appreciate
down.
That.
No question about that. All right, a couple final thoughts before I let you go. You have a tattoo on your right arm. Says Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a Colorado with a left arm. Sorry.
Yeah.
There you see the Colorado there. And Coach Adazio's talked about making a push to get Colorado guys, because Colorado guys will be vested in the program. Do you take on maybe a little bit extra, I don't know, leadership maybe, or do you kind of carry the flag for a lot of those Colorado guys on this team?
Yeah, I really feel like I do because, you know, we have guys from a lot of different places, but, you know, I do have a, you know, sense of pride, you know, when people ask me where I'm from and I can tell them, you know, I'm just from Denver, you know. I don't have to come from, you know, another state that's known for, like, bigger football players or bigger football, you know, to contribute and be a good player. So I definitely enjoy and love the fact that I'm from Colorado.
I mean, you look at the Colorado guys that are all making contributions. Obviously, you on offense you have Barry Wesley, who started, I don't know, what, 30-plus games straight at tackle. I know he played a little guard on Saturday. Trey McBride, obviously, you know, the back end of the defense. I mean, even Jack Cowell's kind of a Colorado kid, Henry Blackburn. It's fun for – I'm a Colorado native. It's fun for me to watch Colorado guys shine on the big stage. Final thought, I know you still have another year to go, but tell us what you're majoring in and life after football. What's the plans for Ajon Vivens?
Well, I'm majoring in international studies, and my plans for after football is to contribute to some international organization like the United Nations or – maybe a World Health Organization, just to figure out ways to better the world and figure out better solutions for things that we're going through.
That's a mature young man right there. Hey, Ajon, it's been a pleasure to watch you.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the big game last week. Best of luck in Albuquerque this weekend.
Appreciate you having me.
All right, Ajon Vivens, in a remarkable and really mature young man. We talked a little bit about his mother, who passed away last September to cancer, and he was really close to his mother, has a tight-knit family. And obviously, it's been a trying year for him, and to watch him continue to grow as a person and a football player has been fun to see. And listen, you get David Bailey back at running back. You got Ajon Vivens there. That's a nice little thunder and lightning 1-2 punch for Colorado State. As for those injuries, it'll be interesting to see who's available this week. We saw both Dante Wright, the wide receiver, hasn't played since the Vanderbilt game. David Bailey, who got hurt in the second play of the Iowa game. We saw them in pregame warmups on Saturday against San Jose State. And all of a sudden, there was a buzz going through the press box. Would those two play? Eventually, they did not. But their status here for this week, I think it's kind of up in the air as well. But I would suspect that we would see Dante Wright. If I had to guess, and I don't have any inside information as we sit here right now, if I had to guess, I think we'll see Dante Wright. Now, I don't know if he'd be 100%. Okay, I'm not sure if you're going to see the Dante Wright that we're all used to seeing, but I would suspect you would see him start to get worked back into that wide receiver rotation, maybe play 15 snaps on Saturday against New Mexico. At least that's my hope. And I would hope the same for David Bailey, but a little less optimistic on Bailey, a little more bullish on Dante Wright playing on Saturday. As for the matchup, New Mexico University Stadium, 5 p.m. the kickoff, and a New Mexico team that, well, it's had their troubles against CSU. Rams have won 10 straight games in the series dating back to 2010. Of course, the two teams did not play last year. That was supposed to be the season opener for the Rams last October 24th. That game did not happen because of COVID issues down there, really, in New Mexico. At that time, they had pretty stringent policies in place. And so that game ended up getting canceled. Last time these two teams played was 2019. The Rams got the 35-21 win at University Stadium. New Mexico opened up the season with a victory against Houston Baptist. Then they beat New Mexico State, their rival down I-25. And boy, they all of a sudden had won four straight games because it was a New Mexico team that went 2-5 last year, but they opened up last season 0-5 and then won their final two games of the year against Wyoming and against Fresno State. And of course, you know, Wyoming and Fresno State, at least record-wise, two of the top teams in the Mountain West Conference here this season. And then they come out and they win their first two games here this year. And all of a sudden you were looking at New Mexico being like, whoa, this is a program under their second-year head coach, Danny Gonzalez, that is all of a sudden starting to kind of turn the corner. Well, all of a sudden, conference hit, and man, they have been blown out in two games in Mountain West Conference play. Air Force went down there, won 38-10, and then last week they got beat 31-7. So what is that, 69-17? They've been outscored in the two conference games. It's been an offense that has really struggled, an offense that lost Terry Wilson, their quarterback, last game to a dislocated elbow. Wilson was a transfer from Kentucky and got off to a real hot start. In fact, he opened up by throwing for 381 yards against New Mexico State in the second game of the year and was the Mountain West Conference Offensive Player of the Week. Does he play on Saturday? We do not know. If he doesn't, most likely we'll have a freshman quarterback going up against a Ram defense that has been wreaking havoc on offenses over the last month of the season. So that's one of the things you want to keep your eye on here this week. Who's going to be playing quarterback for the New Mexico Lobos? But we do know this, the defense will be pretty good. And of course, the defense is that 3-3-5 defense led by Rocky Long, who's now the defensive coordinator there at New Mexico. Of course, Rocky had spent the previous nine seasons as the head coach at San Diego State. All he did there was go to nine straight bowls, have nine straight winning seasons, won three Mountain West Conference championships. I mean, Rocky Long, he's not a flashy head coach, but man, he was a really, really good head football coach. And now, one of his disciples, a former player and a former assistant coach with him at both New Mexico and San Diego State, Danny Gonzalez, has taken over the program. He brought his old mentor back in to be the defensive coordinator. And so, CSU's going to have their hands full with this defense that Steve Stasio told me on Monday night. He goes, it's going to be a blitz-a-thon coming up on Saturday night. That's what they like to do. New Mexico really likes to bring the pressure. All right, let's get a more in-depth look at the New Mexico Lobos. And to do that, as we do each and every week here on the podcast during football season, we turn to the play-by-play voice of the Lobos, Robert Portnoy. All right, Robert, appreciate you joining us here today. Let's first talk about the overall season so far for the Lobos. 2-4, opened up the season with two wins, since then four losses, albeit against some pretty good competition. Kind of give us a gauge of where Lobo football is here at the midway point of the season.
Yeah, Brian, it's great to be with you. I think we're all trying to figure that out, to be honest. You know, the team won two games to start the year, and you count those two league wins at the end of last year, they were on a four-game winning streak, and it looked like things were looking up, you know, maybe not necessarily yet turning a corner, but certainly headed in the right direction. Going to A&M is going to be tough for anybody, but I think the loss at UTEP was eye-opening in that the Lobos had a really good first half and then couldn't close the deal. And now, a couple of league games later, and you're wondering where the season is headed. It's a fair question at this point, and there's uncertainty at quarterback, and the offense has really sputtered. The last good half of offense they played was the first half at UTEP. So A lot of questions to be answered for sure.
Tell us a little bit more about Danny Gonzalez. Of course, he's like Steve Adazio here at Colorado State in his second year, if you want to call it the second year. Last year, it was a strange, strange season. But, of course, CSU and New Mexico didn't play last season because of COVID. Tell us a little bit about how things have gone so far. And, again, obviously he has deep, deep ties to New Mexico and Albuquerque.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned second year. I talked with Rocky Long, his defensive coordinator and his mentor, last week, and he said, look, going into last weekend, it was Coach Gonzalez's 13th game as the head coach. So, and then, and Coach Long even pointed out, like, last year, can we even really count that? He said in his mind, this was Coach Gonzalez's first year as the head coach. Yeah, you know, he's an incredible person, Brian. It's been a privilege to get to know him over the last two calendar years since he arrived on campus. He bleeds cherry and silver, and he's an Albuquerque native. You know, he played his high school athletics at Valley High. He told us that he was a soccer player, and it was an old high school coach, Joe Coleman, who's a legend here in town, that said, hey, you know, why don't you come over and do a little bit more than just kick for us in football? You might be able to do something else. And that's when his football career started, really, because that's when he learned how to play other positions. And we all know, you know, the story from there. He goes on to play at his what is now his alma mater, the University of New Mexico, immediately becomes a grad assistant for Rocky Long, and then from video coordinator to full-time assistant, and you know, peaks out at defensive coordinator for 2 years under Herm Edwards with Arizona State before coming home to take this head coaching job. He loves it here. He had opportunities, if he had wanted to go and be a Power Five defensive coordinator after his first year at UNM, had he chosen to do that. That's not his plan. He wants to rebuild this program and take it to even newer heights than Rocky took it. And we love the guy.
It's an interesting relationship between Gonzalez and Long in terms of the power structure, right? I mean, again, he played for Long. He coached for Long. He was his defensive coordinator, spent 7 years, I think, with him at San Diego State. And now here we are. Danny Gonzalez is the head coach, and Rocky Long is his defensive coordinator. I'm curious if you have any insight. I mean, just how much do you think Danny Gonzalez draws on the expertise of Rocky Long? I imagine it's got to be daily, right?
For sure. And it's such an amazing dynamic between the two guys, Brian. You know, Coach Long, with all of his experience, fascinating thing going into last weekend's game. The two of them hadn't lost in the San Diego State UNM matchup in a decade and a half.
Wow.
Coach Long was 15-0, winning his last seven at UNM as their head coach, and then going to San Diego State and winning in that rivalry eight straight times. And Coach Gonzalez was with him for 14 of those. So they really are hand in glove. One of the fun things that I've had a chance to do is talk with both of them about getting in the lab. That's what I like to call it, when they sit down and talk defense. And of course, you know, Danny is a fresh mind to the old 3-3-5. That Coach Long perfected, right? Probably goes all the way back to Joe Lee Dunn and some other pioneers. Coach Long is the one who's made it what we know it today in college football, the 3-3-5 defense. And obviously, they don't quite yet have the personnel that they want to have ultimately to do everything with that defense that they will before it's finished here at the University of New Mexico. But Coach Long can take him through pretty much everything from top to bottom with his experience. And I think that there is definitely a conversation happening every single day on one thing or another between those two.
All right, well, let's talk about that defense, because they played well last week at San Diego State. Obviously, you know, it's a 31-7 loss, but the defense seems like it's playing better. And I know it's probably a unit that feels like it has to play better with the way that the Lobo offense has kind of sputtered, as you mentioned, the last few weeks.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. The way Coach Gonzalez puts it is that we're not yet good enough on defense to be so poor on offense. It's been too inconsistent in fits and starts. Now, you look back at last weekend, the defense has kept New Mexico in football games. The offense had a chance at the end of the first half, and it threw a pick in the red zone. If the Lobos go into the, you know, break 17-7, it's maybe a different football game, because we know what happened, you know, early in the third quarter. They make the play on defense. Ray Leotelli strips it, scoops it, scores it. And it would have been a 3-point game. Now, ifs and buts, we all know about that. But the offense has been decent, but not good enough. And, you know, Derek Wareheim, the offensive coordinator, I know he's pulling his hair out to figure out a way to get the offense clicking a little bit better, because it looked like, in terms of the passing game, this could be an unprecedented year, at least for the last decade plus, in terms of UNM football. The way that the Lobos threw the football in the first couple of games of the season, it looked like Terry Wilson was going to have an all-conference type of season.
All right, well, let's switch gears to the offense. You mentioned Terry Wilson, the Kentucky transfer. Hurts his elbow last week. It's only Tuesday morning, and I get it. This podcast will actually air tomorrow. But, I mean, do you have any idea of what the quarterback situation may look like coming up on Saturday night?
Yeah, it's a great question, Brian. You know, we taped the television show with Coach Gonzalez yesterday, Monday, and that's going to air on Wednesday also. He has said that the elbow was dislocated. If you watch the replay of the play, you can see what happened. Obviously, they were able to pop it back into place. That's something that Coach Gonzalez has already told the media. So there's going to be some major swelling in there. And will he be able to tolerate it? Will he have the range of motion? Will he have the strength? It's his non-throwing hand, his non-throwing arm.
Right.
But you got to do a lot with your left arm to play quarterback. So will he be able to go? No one knows. The true freshman, C.J. Montez, finished the game last week. He's probably going to be at the top of the depth chart. 6 weeks out for Isaiah Chavez, who won two games as a starter last season at the end of the year against Wyoming and Fresno State. He's the local product. He's available, and he'll get to practice this week in full for the first time since he went into concussion protocol coming out of training camp. So we'll see what the quarterback position looks like. There are a lot of potential options. Nobody has any idea which one's going to bubble to the top.
A couple of final thoughts before we let you go, Robert. What have been some of the other issues of late for this offense? You mentioned got off to a nice start. You know, you beat Houston Baptist, put up a lot of points against the rival down south in New Mexico State. But what have been some of the troubles plaguing this offense?
Can't run the ball. It's been that simple, really. Coach Wareheim, again, our offensive coordinator, I'll mention Coach Wareheim. He has said that it's not a drop back passing team. I mean, if this football team is in the gun and taking 3-step drops and throwing from the pocket all the time because they can't run the ball, it's not going to function. That's not what it wants to be. They need to run the ball better. Now, there were some signs against San Diego State. The freshman Aaron Dumas, I think, has a really good shot to be a great back down the road. And I think I counted, it's unofficial, he had 5 runs of 10 yards or more against San Diego State. That's really positive. Bobby Cole runs extremely hard. He is as physical a runner as you'll find in the conference. He just doesn't have much shake. You know, he's going to hit the hole. And if it's there, he can get to the second level. He's got a chance to run through people. You know, he had 100-plus yard rush games in each of those wins at the end of last season against Wyoming and Fresno State. New Mexico needs to run the football to be more balanced on offense, take some of the pressure off of Terry Wilson or whoever is going to be the signal caller, because the quarterback's been running for his life too much.
All right, we'll move away from football. Hey, basketball season is here. New leadership down there at the University of New Mexico with Richard Pitino coming in. Give us a little bit of an early season preview of what fans can expect from New Mexico hoops this year.
Yeah, Brian, you know, we're all excited to see what that is going to look like as well here in Albuquerque. I think the backcourt could be spectacular. It could be the kind of backcourt the Lobos haven't had in a long time, Brian. The Lobo backcourt has been one that has had issues with the smaller, quicker guard for several years. Issues staying in front of that guard on the opposing team defensively, and they haven't had really anybody like that who could create a shot for himself or create a shot for a teammate, maybe since Coach Weir's first season with Anthony Jackson. I think this year's team has two guys that can do that and do it kind of at will, maybe, especially Jalen House, the transfer from Arizona State. And you throw in, you know, Jamal Mashburn Jr., who certainly has the ability to do the same. And now you've got two players that are going to be really hard to stay in front of, and it's going to be pick your poison for opposing defenses. I'm excited to see that. The front court is a mystery. There's a transfer from Kansas named Jethro Muscadin, whom I'm excited about, but he's really raw. He didn't play at all for Kansas. So we don't know what we have, but it's brand new. Eight new faces on the team, wow, including the entire coaching staff, save for one assistant, a special assistant, Dan McHale, returns because he knew Coach Pitino from having worked with him in Minnesota. But yeah, brave new world for Lobo basketball. It should be fun.
Well, it'd also be nice to play games and practice in Albuquerque.
Oh yeah,
sleep in their own beds at night.
Right. Yeah. The women's basketball team played two home games at the end of the year last season. Those are the only two played in the Pit. Amazing to think that was the case.
Yeah, it really was, and yeah, you know, nobody had it harder in the sport of basketball in the Mountain West Conference last year than New Mexico and San Jose State. And both, I mean, I how you guys were able to get through the season. And again, we're happy we've moved on from that part of COVID, at least we hope, and hoping for a lot more normal college basketball season moving ahead. Robert, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Missed you guys last year, but boy, looking forward to seeing you guys down there at University Stadium coming up on Saturday night. Appreciate your help.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Great to be with you.
All right, there's Robert Portnoy, the play-by-play voice of the New Mexico Lobos. It'll be a fun one coming up on Saturday night. Boy, an opportunity for the Rams to take yet another step and to go to 2-0 in conference play to pick up a road win. Rams and the Lobos, 5 p.m. on Saturday night. We'll go on the air on the Colorado State Sports Network at 3 p.m. with the Tailgate Show hosted by Marty Cesario. All right, finally here on the program, want to switch gears and talk some Olympic sports at Colorado State. And hey, by the way, the Ram volleyball team off to a 5-1 start in Mountain West Conference play. Their lone loss came to Fresno State on the road back on September the 30th, but it's a team that continues to play very good volleyball. They're tied for first with UNLV, the defending conference champions, and the New Mexico Lobos as well. Speaking of those Lobos, yeah, the Rams and the Lobos are going to hook up on the volleyball court coming up tomorrow night, Thursday night, Moby Arena, pink out at Moby, expecting a big crowd for that one, and then they'll take on Air Force Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. So Tom Hilbert, boy, has his crew rolling again in search of yet another Mountain West Conference championship. And how about Colorado State swimming and diving? We'll be joined here by Chris Woodard, their 10th-year coach, in just a moment. But they opened up their season by going 7-0 at the Intermountain Shootout in Grand Junction. Dual wins over Air Force, BYU, Northern Colorado, Dixie State, Adams State, Colorado Mesa, and CSU Pueblo. That's a great way to open up the season. And they'll take on DU coming up on Friday night at 4 o'clock at Moby Pool. You know, the Rams only had 5 duels last year. Swimming and diving was hit hard by COVID, and they just didn't get the requisite pool time that you need throughout the course of a season. Well, they're back this year. They're going to have a home match, a home duel against DU coming up on Friday night at 4 p.m. So should be a lot of fun there. And then they're going to be in Golden to compete with University of Mary out of Bismarck, North Dakota, and Colorado School of Mines in Golden coming up on Saturday. The Rams closed out last season strong. They finished the Mountain West Conference Championships last February with a record point total and a fifth-place finish. And they have 6 all Mountain West Conference performers returning to the roster. They have 6 freshmen on the roster as well, and they're led by Christina Friedrichs, who has been a stalwart for that Rams swimming and diving team. All right, let's hit the pool deck with 10th-year swimming and diving coach at CSU, Chris Woodard. Let's start off with talking about how different last year is compared to this year. I mean, obviously COVID wreaked havoc on just about every sport and really everybody's lives, but does it feel like you're back to a normal collegiate swim season?
It feels great. It's night and day. I think there's always looming in the background some of that anxiety and hopefully the opposite, which is they were just craving opportunities last year. So I think they still have that thirst for opportunities.
You know, you look at how some sports were impacted compared to others, but with swimming, you need a certain number of hours in the pool, right? Those girls have to have a certain number of hours to get to the point they want to get to the end of the season at a conference meet where everything's on the line. And quite frankly, I mean, that just didn't happen last year, did it?
Yeah, you know, in our sport, it's a training sport primarily, at least on the swim side. Certainly our divers have to put in some serious hours as well. But with swimming, I mean, most Olympic hopefuls are doing 20-plus hours a week, and most major programs are. I think we're learning that we can do a little bit less and still be effective. But, yeah, you know, anything less than 12 to 10 hours a week, and you're not going to be in prime shape for competition.
Right. Well, last season, you guys closed out the season very strong. Mountain West Conference Championships, I think it was the highest point total ever at the Mountain West Championships for you guys. Everybody scored for you, which is the first time in a long time. I imagine that had to give you guys a little bit of confidence heading into the off season and now here into the fall with the new season starting.
Well, I think, yeah, that's it. That's been 2 years now that they've bought into the all-in. So every person that went to conference was in scoring position, scored a point towards our total. So I think that's been kind of their rolling thunder, so to speak, over the last 2.5 seasons. And now I think we've got three great senior captains, and I think the message is very clear. The expectations are clear, and I think by our results in Mesa, it's starting to show.
Yep, you guys were out in Grand Junction for the Intermountain Shootouts, where you guys went 7-0 in your duels. You only got 5 duels all of last year, and you guys go 7-0 the first weekend. But tell us a little bit about that in Grand Junction, and I mean, you had to be pleased.
Sure, a unique situation. Usually there's only about 4 teams there, but probably because it's post-pandemic, everybody looking for an opportunity, as it was maybe a more crowded deck than we're used to, and some different competition. But yeah, it was great. The girls were watching the events and watching the scoreboard and trying to figure out where we were and kind of adjust. And we did take a couple of steps back during that weekend, but they just rebounded and put the hurt on some other teams. So I think they felt pretty good leaving Grand Junction on Saturday.
All right, you bring back a lot of talent from a season ago. Tell us about some of your top swimmers and divers here this year. I know 6 of your athletes placed in the Mountain West, got all Mountain West last season. You get all of them back. So tell us who are going to be some of the leaders this year.
Sure. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Christina Friedrichs. She is probably the heart and soul. She kind of drives the bus for the most part with our other 2 captains, obviously, but her performances at Mountain West last year were kind of the standard we're shooting for. So she's going to have her opportunities. But I think that has trickled down to some other people. So Annika Johnson, one of our freshmen last year, Abby Ownby, our distance specialist, Hannah Sykes, Lisa Lunina, our backstroke and IM and fly specialist. I mean, all of them brought something to the table. I think our seniors as a whole are a really strong class, but I think what was it maybe not most surprising, but most pleasantly unexpected was our freshmen this past weekend. Right. They absolutely lit into competition.
And you'd have a couple of them win events, right?
Yeah. I think Lindsay on both boards, she really attacked it. Maisie Barbosa, who had a phenomenal finish in her 200 IM, but also won the 400 IM, and Katie McClellan, our breaststroke specialist. They kind of came out guns blazing, and they led the rest of the pack. Maya White, Emily Corpening, Aaron Dawson, they all swam fantastically.
All right, so you're going to get DU here at Moby Pool. I mean, how good does it feel to be back here in your own pool? You had the one duel here last season, and now you look at your schedule, and you have all these duels lined up, and many of them are right here at Moby Pool.
Yeah, we get excited anytime. We get to be in front of our home crowd in the unique confines of our environment. We like to see other teams maybe a little uncomfortable in our facility. So that's always exciting. We only have 2 of them, but we're going to make them big ones.
And following that, kind of give us an idea of what it looks like as you get into November. I know you'll be up in Laramie, an early duel with Wyoming Cowgirls. And then obviously you guys, once you turn the calendar, are going to get into a whole lot of Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, you know, the competitions, I think, are very heated between us, Denver, UNC Greeley, and Wyoming. Wyoming, obviously, is our traditional rival, and pretty heated. They've taken it to us for the last decade, and I think we're on the ascendancy. I think we're at a point where we feel like not only we can compete with them, but we can take some wins. So a lot of meets and a lot of training to go in between that, but we're looking forward to it.
Yep, indeed. All right, Chris, we'll let you get back to work here, but a conference is going to be right around the corner. Mid-February, it's going to be back after it for another end-of-the-year meet. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. Have a great day, Brian.
I always appreciate sitting down with Chris Woodard. I've known Woody for a long, long time. He was an assistant coach under John Matos at Colorado State when my wife was a swimmer at Colorado State back in the early 2000s. Chris, doing a great job with this swimming and diving program. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast here this week. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to the show as well. Again, appreciate Ajon Vivens for hopping on with us on Monday night, the Coors Light Steve Adazio Coaches Show. Thank you to Robert Portnoy, the play-by-play voice of the New Mexico Lobos, and of course, swimming and diving coach Chris Woodard. For everybody that helped out with the podcast here this week, I'm Brian Roth saying so long. Thanks for tuning in to the Colorado State Insider Podcast.
This has been the Colorado State Insider with Brian Roth. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Colorado State Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.